Good evening, Rabbi Isai. Shir is on the fourth parak in Ovos tonight. In the Sefer HaKuzari, it's approximately Os Kuf Yud. So the king, this non-Jewish nation, is gathered religious theologians of all the major religions in the world. And he says to them, you guys are a strange lot, all of you. Why? Because all of you tell me the same thing. That there's nothing like Olam Haba. That's it. So this is a very strange thing, he said. If there's nothing like Olam Haba, it's pretty odd that no one's in a rush to get there. So how do you account for that? This Olam Haba is so phenomenal. You should be in a rush to get there. That's what he asked. The answer to that question, it is a very good question. Who are your Omer? Yofo Sha'ach in Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Zayin. This is from Yaakov Omer. Who are your Omer? Yofo Sha'ach is B'tshuva Ma'ase Tova. That the time that one spends in Tshuva Ma'ase Tova Ba'olam Hazeh, that one spends in doing Tshuva Ma'ase Tova in this world, is greater Mikol Chayei Olam Haba, all of Olam Haba. And then the second half of the Mishnah seems to be at odds with this. V'yobu sha'ach v'shakoras ruach. The satisfaction one has in Olam Haba, v'kol chayei olam hazeh. That all the satisfaction one can meet with this world. So which is greater? The first half of the Mishnah seems to suggest that Olam Hazeh exceeds Olam Haba. Second half of the Mishnah says that Olam Haba is greater than Olam Hazeh. The satisfaction that one will have with Olam Haba exceeds all the satisfaction and pleasure that you think about in this world. So which is greater, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba? And this is really answered with the expression of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon felt in Chol HaMoed Sukkos, on the year that he died on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos in Chutz La'aretz, the fifth day of Sukkos. And as he felt his strength ebbing away and he realized he was about to leave this world, so the Gaon was in tears. So our Talmidim came to him and they said, Rebbe, we don't understand. If you're concerned for what you haven't done in this world, what should the rest of us say? There hasn't been anyone that had such commitment to Limud HaTorah in hundreds and hundreds of years. The world has never heard of anything like that. Yechsidus, your personal sanctity in service of the Rebbeinu, was also off the charts, like a malach. So what are you crying about? So what is with all the rest of us? You're crying. And the Vilna Gaon said, that's not the reason that I'm crying. Not at all. The reason is something else, he says. This world is a marketplace. You can buy Olam Haba. You take a few pennies, dollars today, and you buy a telescope, you buy a tzitzis, put it on your begging, and you turn a few dollars into Olam Haba. It's a world of this phenomenal investments in this world. I'm going to a place where you can't invest. There are no investments. There, everything is annuities. Whatever you have put into your retirement account, that's what you get. There are no new investments. It's closed. That's why I'm crying. I'm leaving a world where you can invest and invest and invest for a phenomenal profit. I'm going to a place where you have to move off your investments. Fixed income. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. Yoma sha'achas b'tshuva ma'aseh b'olam hazeh. In the world to come, in Olam Haba, can't accomplish. First, you're going to have a schus that the Rebbeinu Shem raises him from Madrega to Madrega because it was avoided in this world. That's true. But in terms of personal accomplishment, to add to the schad of the Olam Haba, that's finished. There's nothing he can do. The Olam Haba is on a fixed thing. If you want to deal with satisfaction, That's a different story. First day of the Mishnah is dealing with opportunity. Opportunity knocks in this world. It does not knock in Olam HaBa. Satisfaction is in Olam HaBa. Who is satisfied in this world? Whatever pleasure a person has, so much difficulty when he gets it. How long does it last? It fades quickly. Olam HaBa, person has pleasure that's eternal, never fades. The pleasure of it doesn't fade. So if one wants to know the kiras ruach, the satisfaction that one has, satisfaction is for Olam HaBa. In Olam Hazer, we struggle to find satisfaction. Whatever satisfaction we find is fleeting. But we have to make sure that we prepare for the satisfaction of Olam HaBa. See them tell a story of Nechel Tversky, the Zangezut Mishtakshi of Milwaukee, relates this story. See this story. The Chidush Harim was traveling to the Kotzker Rebbe. He spent Yom Haroron with the Kotzker Rebbe. And it was a very lengthy distance from where he lived. He had to cross Poland to get there. And he didn't have money. So weeks and weeks before Yom Tov, he set off to walk to get the Kotz before Rosh Hashanah. And time was dragging on and on and on. And finally, it's 2-3 days to Rosh Hashanah. And he still sees he's far from Kotz. The rate that he's proceeding, he will never get the cuts from time to Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't have any money to his name, so he goes over to a Balagola wagon driver, and he says to him, please take me the cuts. So the wagon driver sizes him up. He says, yeah, but how am I going to get paid? So he assures the wagon driver that I have a lot of friends in cuts, and they'll give me money, and we'll pay off the fee of the wagon driver, the Balagola, for paying me. The wagon driver sizes him up and sees he's a person of integrity and he's masculine to the deal. So they get into the wagon and they're going. The time is passing, getting closer and closer to the Yom Tov. The room is antsy, he wants to get there. So he's urging the Balagola to push the horse as fast as possible, that he should get the cuts before Rosh Hashanah. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah, 3-4 in the afternoon, and the Balagola calls him to come. He's there. Chidush Harim, a man of his word, goes around, he runs around to his friends and cuts. They collect enough money, he pays off the Balagola. They fear bringing him to cuts. And then tragedy strikes. The horse is so weary from the derech, the journey, that the horse dies, kills over and dies. Balagola sees his horse die, he's broken. This is his whole parnassus, his horse. If he doesn't have his horse, he has no means of earning a livelihood. So he also kills over and dies out of Rosh Hashanah. Double tragedy. I think we can compare one to the other, but one brought on the other. Rosh Hashanah begins and the davening comes to Musa from Rosh Hashanah. And the Chidush HaRim is extremely lengthy in his tefillos. He's crying as he doubts. As he finishes his tefillah, so his chaverim looked at him. Like, why was he crying so much about it? He looks at his davening. And the Chidush HaRim indicates that it's the middle of Musaf now, and the key is after Musaf. I'll tell you what happens. The Musaf ends, and his friends gather around the Chidush HaRim, and they ask him, what will the cry with the crying of them? He says, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I had a vision of the Mishpat of this Balagola. What was his judgment before the Kisei HaKol? So, the Bez and Shammai looked at him, and he was a man of very, very few accomplishments in this world, with his mitzvahs. He said, how could we let him into Olam HaBa? What did he do in this world? But the Malach HaSanhedrin came, defense malach. The defense malach said that he came, he died serving a pious Jew. And for that itself is enough reason to open up the doors of Gan Eden. So the Bezen Shemayla convened again. And they said, the Malach HaSanegar is right, we have to let him in. Then they had a new dilemma in the Bezen Shemayla. What type of Olam HaBot can I give him? You know, he didn't learn anything in his life. He had little connection with Ruchnius. What are we going to give this Balagola? What's the Olam HaBot going to do? What type of Olam HaBot? So they finally came to the following conclusion, that they're going to give him the most magnificent wagon, coach, with the most magnificent horses, and they're going to make a road that runs Lenetzach Ritzach eternally, with through calm weather, without any potholes, with no mud, with no ditches. And they told the Balagola, this is the Olam HaMos. He climbs on the coach and he whips the horses and off he goes. He says in the Balagola, and the Chiddush HaRim says, I cried when the Olam HaMos eat. That's what I cried for. What could they give him? To ride his horse, his coach with beautiful white steeds, Lenetzach Netzach, for eternity on the roads of Gan Eden. That's his Olam HaMos. That's what he was able to do. A person that's steeped in Ruchnius in this world. So he has another one. You know, the Behuda writes that Yeshiva Shomailo is an academic institution, no different than the Havdol, than the academic institutions in this world. If you come and you want to register in university and you want to take the third course in there, so they ask you, very nice, you want to take the third course. If you take course number one, then you take course number two. If you did, then you have met the entrance requirements for the third level course. If you didn't take to meet the entrance requirements, you didn't take course one or course two, they're not going to let you into level three. So the Nodi Yehuda says, what are the entrance requirements in Olam HaMos? Whatever we've learned in this world, so we met the entrance requirements for that in Olam HaMos. If I learned the Masechta in this world, and I come and I want to learn that Masechta in Yeshiva Shomayla, I showed up, I learned this Masechta in Olam HaZeh, and they open up the door and they let me in. But if I didn't learn that Masechta, then they're going to tell me, how can you come in here? You don't need the entrance requirements. So some want to suggest that at least we do all the Mishnayos. Like the Mishnayos, we can meet the entrance requirements. But if we want the proper Olam HaBot, we have to prepare an Olam HaZeh for the Olam HaBot. We have to prepare that for people of Ruchnius, that we have Torah, we have mitzvahs, the Birush Shemayim, we have Midas Torahs. And Leila, we're worthy, we're ready, we've met the entrance requirements to be able to bask in the beauty, in the splendor of Olam HaMos. Because Yofo Sha'achas, B'tshuva Masim Tovim, Mikol Chayei Olam HaMos. Olam HaZeh, Mikol Chayei Olam HaMos. The Achona, the preparation that we have to make, preparation that we have to make for Olam HaMos. The Mishnah continues. Of Shimon and Allah's around the 18th Mishnah. Of Teratzah's Chaver Chobashas Kas. That if you see someone's angry, don't try to appease him. Don't try to go overboard to try to calm him down. You have to let it take its course. And when it's calmer, then you'll come and try to put him at ease. But you can't try to put him at ease when he's all angry. And we learn this. The Rabbeinu Shlomo said, means my anger the Rabbeinu Shlomo said, the Midas HaDin will pass, and then we could calm things down. And then come to speak to me, to be this powerful HaKadosh Baruch. When a person has lost themselves, they're troubled, they're anguished, they're not disposed at that moment to hear nichon for a person to comfort them. And if you try to comfort them, to the contrary, you usually produce even more kas, more anger. Because they'll say, oh, you're insensitive, you don't feel, you don't understand what happened to me. And then they'll go even further and they'll explode on a new level of caste to tell you how terrible the situation they went through was. because from their standpoint, the only conceivable way that it could be that you're trying to comfort them is you don't experience, understand the anguish of their state of mind. So not only did they have to reject what you said, but they'll have to enter another level to explain to you how terrible the situation is. So not only don't we accomplish that which we want to accomplish, but we actually are negative, because we push the person to even a further degree of anger. Al-Tirat says, Chaver Chavashas Kas. Take a step back. Let the person calm down. Come 2 days later when he's a little bit, the hard edge is off, and then see what you can do. But at the moment, you're not going to succeed. A wise statement from Shulman Abbas. And similarly, when a person is in the emotions, the emotional throes of a particularly difficult incident, you can't connect with them at that time. A person, no alone, that lost someone close to him. And how could you comfort him at that moment? So we say that the real nicham begins first after 3 days. We should make some mutter lechonam for the first 3 days of the avodas. And Chazal is a very striking Chazal quoted by Rav in Mishnayos. So the Shas Achurban. In the time of the Churban of Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was avu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was destroyed for the fate of Klal Yisrael. Bikshu Malachi HaShoris Menachama. So the Malachi HaShoris wanted, as it were, the Menachama HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ruach HaKadosh Meshiva, Al Ta'itzu Menachama Eidu. Don't rush to give you Yichu. It's at the highest level that they were telling us that the person finds himself. When he's a tzar or a loss, is not the time to be menachem. Be there, listen to him, but don't try to be menachem. That has to come as the person starts himself come back to this world. And similarly, about tishalo b'shas nidra, a person got angry and he made a nether. And I realize I'm standing here, and I realize this net is not going to serve his interests. It's going to bring great harm to him if he has to live up to this net. So what do I want to do? So we know there's such a thing as Shayla Manadorn. You can make a Torah Sandorn. So I'll go to speak to him, and we'll make a Torah Sandorn now. But I'll interject, Yanko, we can make a Torah Sandorn. He'll ask me how, and I'll tell him, well, you have this way to do it, that way to do it. Don't do that. Why? Because if you do that, what's his response going to be? He's angry, and right now he wants to have another. So he'll expand an nether. And I'll say, despite the fact of this, I want an nether now, despite this. So all the ways that you might have later of having him rescind the nether because he didn't anticipate certain things. He regrets having done it. And now he'll scream out in his anguish, I don't regret it, I will never regret it. And if I'd known this particular thing, I would do it anyhow. So now what have you accomplished? Not only didn't he retract his nether, but he strengthened his nether. And when you're going to want to sit down later to find a halachic basis to do the nullification of the nether, Torah Sandor, you're going to have a hard time. Because he told him all the tricks that he would use to get him out of the nether. And now he made a nether for those things too, including that. So now what are you going to do next time? When he starts to realize that he bit off more than he can chew, and he's looking for a way out, but all the normal ways out are blocked to him, because since he brought them up to him when he was angry, so he made a nether not to use those things to him. So now he's really stuck. So not only didn't you help him, the Tana's telling him, but these things bring difficulty. They're not going to work. Not only do they work, but they count to the doctor. And the same is true to Nachamenu because if I try to be Menachem, it's going to feel I'm insensitive. I don't understand the depth of his loss. So then later, when I come and he's a little calmer, You're coming to be Menachem. You never got it in the first place. You don't know what I went through. While I was in the depth of my suffering, you didn't understand me. So how can I accept anything from you? So noble intentions have to be weighed carefully for the right timing, the right time, the right place, and the right person to do that. The noblest of intentions not only cannot succeed, but they can be counterproductive. And they, in fact, can push the person to a different direction altogether, in a more difficult direction, and make it harder really to deal with what's troubling them. Finally, al tishtadlu l'raisa b'shas ta'apalosa. If a person sins and he's embarrassed by it, he does not want to know that I know about it. So if I'm going to come to see him at that time while he's in the throes of doing something improper, so what's going to happen? He's going to be embarrassed of me. I won't be able to help him later on because he won't be able to look me in the face. And I once came someplace many years ago, and I was supposed to come there. The norm was that I opened the door and I walked in. I came in and I heard someone in the house in a very frenzied, angry state. So I calmly and quickly left. No one should know that I came. And I came 10, 15 minutes later. I didn't want the person even to suspect that I might have been there when they were in a very frenzied state. Imagine the embarrassment that they would have. So a person has to realize how carefully he has to be. I saw a very interesting maisa. It was a big Goyin in Eretz Yisrael. It was related to Chafetz Shechta of Avram Genachovsky. It was an awesome Goyin. And he was a genius in Midas, an absolute genius. So one Shabbos he was in his house, and someone came and he hears the doorbell ring. He realized the person just slipped at the moment and they forgot his Shabbos and they rang the doorbell. If he'll come to the door and he'll open the door now, the person will be embarrassed to the nth degree. They came to an Odom Godel and they rang his bell at Shabbos. So what did he do? He didn't answer the door. He went back to his bed. He took off his clothes. He never changed. He took off his clothes. But he put on his pajamas. 10 minutes later, he came to the door and says, "Oh, I heard someone knocking by the door now. I was asleep. I just got up from the knocking." And he came and he opened up the door for the person. The person saw him in his pajamas. He did not want the person to be embarrassed about what they had done. If he came to the door regularly, opened the door, a person would die of embarrassment. So he ran to his room, he put on his pajamas. The person was knocking and waiting by the door, and then all of a sudden I said, "Ooh, I fell asleep. I heard knocking at the door, so I came. I just woke up." The genius, the sensitivity that's involved, not to embarrass the next person. And then later you can help that person. If he does something that's really improper, not just a mistake. But he lost himself, and he expressed himself in a fashion that's improper, did something. So if he doesn't know that I'm aware of what he's done, so I can be there for the person later, comfort them, ease their mind without letting on that I know. But I realize they're in a very distressed and difficult state. But if I let them know at the time, I embarrass the person. And then later on, I can't even deal with them. They won't be able to deal with them. So we need to temper the urge to run to do things with the wisdom of knowing when it's not time. There are times that the best thing to do is to stay out of sight. Let a particular situation pass. And then as it's calming down or calmed down, then to insert myself into that situation in a gentle fashion to try to assist the person that's gone through the difficulty. But if I try to end of the fray too early, it may be counterproductive. I may push the person even further over the edge. So this is the wisdom of Shimon ben Elazar, is we need not only good intentions in this world, but we need good, nice, good deeds. And if we don't weigh carefully the seichel, that which we do, our good intentions are going to push us to do very bad deeds. So not only bad intentions do we have to be careful about, but we have to be very careful about good intentions. Make sure that the good intentions are carried out the chokhmah, not in a fashion which embarrasses someone else. Because I'll say it in Megashrava Parshas Bahar, that a person should be careful, sensitive, in dealing with an oni. You know, he sees the person needs help, but I can do it in a fashion which embarrasses him if I'm not careful. So figure out how to do it in a way that he won't be embarrassed. And he did in Eretz Yisrael. But Mordechai Rosenthal is the head of the Stockholm. Tzidkas Yosef Naftali. The genius that he put into the Stockholm in distributing the funds to the people that got the ones should not know where the money came from. He had checks with no name, no identifiable name, scribbled signatures. So when a guy found the check, he had no idea who gave it to him, where it came from. He should never be embarrassed by meeting a person because he needed help the other. That sensitivity to be a noble soul and to be a wise operator simultaneously. That's the chokhmah of Shimon ben Elazar, this Mishnah. Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. It's been a pleasure. I'm happy to have joined, all of us have joined together tonight. And I'm looking forward, Be'ezus Hashem, to see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, for sure, Yuma, Be'ezus Hashem, Yisbach. And we see you at Shoram. Good evening, Mitch. Eddie, good to see you.